We plant the food, we drive the cab, we load the ship, we run the lab, we build the bridges, we fly the plane, we do the work, this is our day,
we do the work.
This is the Labor Exchange on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm your host, Robert Lindgren, with the Colorado AFL-CIO and Denver Newspaper Guild, Local 37074. Today, we're talking about HR 903, the Rights of the Transportation Security Administration Workforce Act of 2022. Our guest today is Michael Farrington, a former TSA agent and current volunteer legislative political coordinator with the American Federation of Government Employees, the union that represents TSA agents. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, Robert, thanks so much for having me. Thanks for having me on the Labor Exchange.
Yeah, great. So to start off the conversation, I just want to get some background. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it was like to work for the TSA?
Sure. Almost 2 years ago, I started with the TSA as a transportation security officer, kind of a right at the bottom, or it was right out of high school. I was a freshman in college. And it was a really good experience for me. And it was really something kind of enlightening. And it was really the first thing that really struck me was the turnover. The turnover was so high. Some accounts say almost 20,000 TSA officers will turn over in every 2 years, which is about half the workforce every 2 years. But it was really a unique experience. I had really great team, really great leadership. I would have been there about 2 years this April. I did leave the agency in December, but I've stayed really involved in organizing and working with the union for TSA workers' rights, which really struck me as something that needed to be improved when I worked there.
Yeah, what ultimately made you decide to leave that work?
Yeah, ultimately, it was simply the schedule and the lack of long-term career opportunities. TSA pay is static. It's something that we're really fighting to change with our bill. But TSA pay is static for if you're there 1 year or you're there 10 years, it doesn't really change very much. That just made it really not something that I could do as a long-term career, especially as a student. I really enjoyed my time with the TSA, but ultimately the schedule inflexibility and the inflexibility for salary was something that just made me realize that it had to be a job and couldn't be a career as it stands right now.
Yeah, and I think that's a good segue into talking about this bill. So the TSA Workforce Act, it did pass the U.S. House of Representatives earlier this month. Can you tell us what its aims are? What does it do and why that's important?
Yeah, absolutely. The TSA Rights for Workers Act, I think it's been changed slightly. It's like you mentioned, its name got changed a little bit when it passed the House. But that bill is hugely important in the fact that it would grant TSA officers both access to the GS or General Schedule Pay System, which includes automatic raises, an increase in base pay, as well as a structure for growth. It's much more linear in that. Currently, they're using something called the SV pay scale system. They're the only agency in the government to use it because it's very archaic. The GS pay scale allows for steps and automatic promotions based on how many years you've been there. It rewards your time there. It would also give TSA officers what's called Title V rights, which is the right to collectively bargain and the right to demand a contract. And then when that contract isn't necessarily met, it would give them permission to both go to the EEOC and other labor organizations and petition them for access to those. Those are two huge parts. And the labor board has really been supportive of that, but we currently just don't have those rights. Homeland Secretary Mayorkas has been very supportive of us and been very outspoken in his support, as well as President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. So we're really optimistic that we can get it through that last leg of the step and just get it through the Senate now to really improve our officers' lives.
Well, and as you allude to, getting it through the Senate, that can be a challenge. Certainly, yeah. some labor priorities haven't been able to meet that hurdle. You want to talk a little bit about this bill specifically? I know it did pass with bipartisan support out of the House. You know, how do you think the chances are of getting it through the Senate at this time?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really fantastic question. You know, we all know, those of us who are involved with labor, the PRO Act, and that was a bill we were really hoping we would see more success in the Senate. Unfortunately, just hasn't, even with the support of the lower house and the presidency. But yeah, HR 903 has, it doesn't have a Senate companion bill yet. We actually retracted that bill to kind of renegotiate it. It did pass the House with bipartisan support. We had some Republican lawmakers on there, and we had a lot of Republican lawmakers who were co-sponsors, but didn't end up voting for the bill due to some amendments they didn't necessarily completely agree with. But I think that that really tells us there's a huge opportunity for bipartisan support. This is a bipartisan issue. Law enforcement and unions should be a place where Democrats and Republicans can come together and really find common ground. In this case, I think we have an opportunity in the Senate to really reach across the aisle and make some connections and maybe get a big bipartisan push. We have some senators that have considered it. Senator Murkowski and Senator Collins are both notable moderates that have spoken with us, as well as Senator the senator from Utah. Oh my goodness, Romney. Sorry. Took me a second there. But yeah, we've had really good support from them. And we're still waiting on, you know, everybody's favorite moderate, Steve Manchin, kind of see if he's going to, Senator Manchin, see if he's going to come down on our side or not. But I think we have a unique opportunity to get this bill passed. We're running a little low on time, but I'm optimistic that we'll be able to really build a coalition that, even if it doesn't necessarily succeed this year, next Congress, we have a really unique opportunity to pass this and change more than 40,000 officers' lives for the better.
Yeah, you mentioned retention of officers being a big challenge. Yeah. How do you think this bill will support that? And how many folks would this affect? How many folks across?
Yeah, this is huge. Between GS pay scale, which will affect every TSA TSA employee, not just the frontline officers, it'll affect about 60,000 officers within the agency. They're one of the largest law enforcement agencies in the country. They're one of the largest private, you know, private non-military unionized groups. And it will be a huge impact. The lowest pay level will see about a $2,000 pay raise bump first year. The highest levels will see much more than that. But most officers will see about an average of about a $3,000 to $4,000 pay bump. And that's a huge jump. That'll help with retention because it'll make it more competitive. That average is based on locality. Those localities would go up. So more expensive regions such as Denver would see a much higher bump. And some of the regions, poorer regions, or just lower pay regions would see a smaller bump, but still comparable in percentage wise. That's a big thing to retention right now. Pay is a big challenge with retention. That's a big reason that the TSA is losing folks. Same thing with those Title V rights. Those will give the union fuller powers to negotiate a good contract to create a place where people want to work. That's a big challenge right now. And it's something that I'm really confident that this bill would address and allow for a really changing culture at the TSA.
Well, and you mentioned some of the quality of life things there. I think, you know, in 2019, there was a bit of an emphasis on the high suicide rate that yeah. is seen amongst TSA officers. And just wondered if you could take a second to talk about that and how maybe you see this bill as part of the solution there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's an important point. TSA officers are kind of treated as, you know, we hate the phrase, but the redheaded stepchild of the law enforcement agencies. It's a little bit different. You don't have necessarily the same amount of intensive training. You're not carrying a firearm, and you're not necessarily in as high a threat risk day to day as another federal officer. On the flip side, you experience significant negative emotions from passengers and those who are traveling through the airport. Nobody likes TSA checkpoints. I still don't like TSA checkpoints. I don't like going through them. I don't like taking my shoes off. I don't like pulling my laptop out of my bag. And that tends to really weigh on officers. They hear a lot of negativity. The people who I think a lot of really strong officers and really strong leadership end up going to other agencies where both the pay is better and the environment's maybe a little bit better. So that ends up leaving TSA with a little bit of a filter of some of the folks who are good but not great stay with the agency. And it tends to lead to, in my thought, kind of a multi-year decay in the agency's leadership structure. There are some strong, fantastic people in the agency, don't get me wrong. But I think that those would really make a huge improvement by allocating better resources and allowing both the union and the agency to make big improvements. And I really want to thank President Biden for his budget that really fully funds the TSA and gives us the opportunity to fund some of those programs that really should be funded for quality of life improvements. I think those are big changes that, along with this bill, will make a really big impact in day-to-day officers' lives and really make them feel like they are the important officer in the security in the security culture that we are here in the country.
And I think just having those extra resources or being able to collectively bargain for things like mental health support could just be huge. So I wanted to talk just a little bit more on right now across the government. We've had another person over at the Social Security Agency on this show. There's significant challenges to recruiting qualified individuals in lots of government jobs. With the GSA change, with the change from being a unique system to one that is uniform across the government, how would that give opportunities both for individual workers to move agencies to be involved that way? And how do you think that might support other agencies in the government getting qualified people?
Absolutely. Fantastic question, Robert. I think the biggest answer to that comes from allowing a unified system would allow much easier transfers into the agency. Currently, you can transfer pretty easily from an SV to a GS, but it is very challenging to transfer from a GS to an SV pay scale, which makes it kind of, TSA is kind of challenging. It's kind of funnel shaped. It's very easy to transfer out of TSA, but it's very hard to transfer into TSA. And that really makes the agency kind of, it kind of faces a talent vacuum because a lot of talent goes elsewhere to other agencies that can afford to pay more or maybe can award, you know, you come out of the military, you've got specialized skills, you join the TSA and 5 years later, you're not with the TSA because you had specialized firearm skills and TSA doesn't need specialized firearm skills as much. So I think that allowing other agencies to transfer into the TSA would make that a huge improvement. And I think that that uniformity would also prevent people from leaving. If you have specialized firearms experience, but you really like the TSA, you're not going to leave if you're making the same thing as you would another agency. And that's what we're really facing for why we're seeing so much turnover is you have all these other agencies, lots of which do very similar work for sometimes 20, 25% more money. Of course, you're going to leave the organization. And that's what's really led to a talent suck for a lot of our long-term talent leaving, especially after you've worked there 20 years and you made the same thing I did after two. That's not a culture that tells people they're going to be rewarded for their loyalty and their hard work and their continuing upskilling with the federal government. And I think that's what a huge room for improvement we have is the opportunity for that to make it a little bit easier to move into the agency and a little bit easier to make it a career, make it a long-term choice. We've seen that day after day, we've seen more and more, you know, unions organizing that. We've seen Starbucks baristas organizing. We've seen, you know, King Soopers employees organizing on the fundamentals that people deserve to make a career. And that's something that we're seeing less and less today, especially in the federal government. And I think that's a real shame. And I think we should really return to what it was in 2002 when this was a viable long-term career to take care of yourself and take care of your family.
Yeah. And talking about just back to the actual work of the TSA, what did you find to be some of the most challenging parts of that work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the most challenging parts obviously was the importance and attention to detail every minute, every second of every day. You know, you make a minor slip up, that might be the bag or the person who is a threat. Probably it's not. You know, TSA operated on a fundamental of trust but verify. And I worked for the agency for almost 2 years, and 90% of days I went home and I caught, you know, minor knives and maybe a few bullets that somebody forgot in their, you know, gym bag. Most of what the TSA does is preventative. But once in a blue moon, that 10% of days I came home and I went, wow, where I confiscated a firearm from a passenger or a passenger had brought a massive fireworks or other things that I don't think I'm allowed to talk about on the show. But there are situations where the TSA is very vital and that's very important. And I think that continued attention to detail is very important. And I think that's what's challenging. I think it's challenging when you're worrying about, man, can I make rent or how am I going to pay my credit card bill? Or man, I got school to pay for and my daughter, you know, I can't be at her school play because we don't have flexibility on hours. And I wasn't able to negotiate a union contract that helped me, you know, spend more time with my family. I think when those things are all running through your mind, You're not focused on that bag or that passenger or what that weird object is. I think you're more focused on, can you pay your bills? And I think that making sure our officers aren't dealing with so many external stressors would be a really huge step forward to helping officers complete their job tasks more effectively day to day.
How are Colorado Senators Hickenlooper and Bennett on this bill? Have your members been reaching out to them and talking to them about it?
Yeah, they have. I specifically want to call out all of our federal lawmakers as being hugely supportive. Some of them, but both of our senators have been fantastic. Senator Bennett was one of the first co-sponsors in the bill. I spoke with Senator Hickenlooper a few times at labor-hosted town halls, and I really appreciate Senator Hickenlooper for being at those. And Senator Hickenlooper doesn't always vote the way we want him to, but he's been a huge ally on this bill, and we really appreciate him and Senator Bennett's support, along with our Democratic delegation that we've sent at a House of Representatives level. I spoke with Congresswoman Diana DeGette just a few days ago at an event. I hugely appreciate she has been a supporter for a long time, along with Congressman Jason Crow. Congressman DeGoose has been a very strong supporter, and I'm really confident that whoever is elected in CD8 will continue to be a strong supporter, as all of the candidates currently have been strong supporters. We've had some support from the congressional Republicans here in Colorado as well, which I appreciate. They were very open, and they did suggest a few ways that we could make the bill a little more palatable. Even if they didn't end up voting for the bill in the end, we did appreciate that their engagement with us. So I think that especially from our senators, we've seen really strong support and engagement with our lawmakers in Colorado. And that's something that I wish we could see nationwide. And I think if we had lawmakers as concerned and involved as we do in Colorado, this bill would have been passed already 2 years ago when we first introduced it. This bill is very important, and I really can't appreciate enough the Colorado lawmakers that have recognized its importance.
Yeah. And so for our listeners, if they are interested in supporting safe airports and getting better working conditions for the folks that are handling security in the airports, what would you suggest to them as far as outreach or otherwise to try to be supportive of this bill?
Yeah, absolutely. I would encourage you to talk to your lawmakers, both state and federal lawmakers, and encourage them to continue to support TSA officers, and especially the lawmaker, the Rights for Transportation Security Administration Workforce Act 2022. I'd encourage you to call your lawmakers in support. Reach out to me or other members. We are more than happy to get involved. You can find me pretty easily on social media if you search my name. And I'm more than happy to help you get involved and help you get plugged into helping kind of really activate and help the AFGE push forward this issue, advance the interests of federal workers and especially TSA officers.
Yeah, and can you remind me again the correct new title of the bill?
Yes, the new title is the Rights for Transportation Security Administration Workforce Act of 2022. That's what they renamed it.
Okay, great. All right. Is there anything else that you want to leave our listeners with? Any anecdotes from the field, or even just talking again about the importance of this bill?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just kind of give my 30-second elevator pitch for this bill. You know, the one I would throw to lawmakers if I got a second, I ran into them in the Capitol building or something. This bill is really important because it would really fundamentally change the Homeland Security prerogative when it comes to TSA. It would give our officers the opportunity to not just live fulfilling careers and lives outside of the agency, but it would also make sure that as an agency, we're prepared for the evolving threat. The threat is not the same that it was 20 years ago, and we cannot continue to operate on the same systems, functions, and methods that we used 20 years ago, especially when no other federal agency doesn't use it. When no other federal agency uses it, you know you're behind the curve, and it's time to update the system and give TSA officers what they deserve. We lose institutional knowledge, people who've been with the agency for 15 years, who are great at what they do. We lose them every day because we don't pay them enough. And the fresh recruits don't have those same skills, that muscle memory. I think there's room for TSA to improve, and I'll never stop being a proponent for improvement. But I think that that really starts internally, where we can start hiring the people to make the change. Thank you so much for having me on today, Robert.
Yeah, thanks so much for getting on the show and talking to us about your experience in the TSA and then this exciting new bill.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for that. And thanks for listening.
Great. This has been the Labor Exchange on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. We are a member of the Labor Radio Network. Check out other great labor conversations at laborradionetwork.org. Our guest today has been Michael Farrington, a former TSA agent and current volunteer, legislative political coordinator with the American Federation of Government Employees. We've been talking about the rights for the Transportation Security Administration Workforce Act of 2022. Thank you for joining the Labor Exchange.
You can tell them in the country, tell them in the town. The miners down in Mingo laid their shovels down. We won't pull another pillow, another ton, or lift another finger till the union we have won. Stand up, boys, let the bosses know. Turn your buckets over, turn your lanterns low. There's fire in our hearts and fire in our soul, but there ain't gonna be no fire in the hole. Daddy died a miner, Grandpa he did too. I'll bet this coal will kill me before my working days is through. In a hole that's dark and dirty, an early grave confined, I plan to make a union for the ones I leave behind. Stand up, boys, let the bosses know. Turn your buckets over, turn your lanterns low. There's fire in our hearts and fire in our soul, but there ain't gonna be no fire in the hole. There ain't gonna be no fire in the hole.
I saw Adam leave the garden with an apple in his hand. Now you're out, what are you gonna do? Plant my crops and pray for rain. Think I'll raise a little cane. I'm an orphan and I'm only passing through. Passing through, passing through. Sometimes happy, sometimes blue. Glad that I ran into you. Tell the people that you saw me passing through. I saw Jesus on that cross on the hill called Calvary. Do you hate mankind for what they did to you? He said, speak of love, not hate. There's things to do, it's growing late. I've so little time and I'm just passing through. Passing through, passing through. Sometimes happy, sometimes blue. Glad that I ran into you. Tell the people that you saw me passing through. I shivered with George Washington at Valley Forge that day. Why do your soldiers freeze here like they do? He said men will suffer, fight, even die for what is right, even though they know they're only passing through. Passing through, oh passing through. Sometimes happy, sometimes blue. Glad that I ran into you. Tell the people that you saw me passing through. I was at Franklin Roosevelt's side just a while before he died. He said one world must come out of World War II. Yankee, Russian, white or tan, Lord, a man is just a man. We're all brothers and we're only passing through. Passing through, passing through. Sometimes happy, sometimes blue. Glad that I ran into you. Tell the people that you saw me passing through. Well, I rode with old Abe Lincoln on that train to Gettysburg. I asked him, what are we gonna do? He said, every man must be unconditionally free, or there is no reason to be passing through. Passing through, oh, passing through. Sometimes happy, sometimes blue. Glad that I ran into you. Tell the people that you saw me passing through. I'm passing through, just passing through. Sometimes happy, sometimes blue. Glad that I ran into you. Tell the people that you saw me passing through.
I don't want your millions, mister. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the right to live, mister. Give me back my job again.
Now I don't want your Rolls Royce, mister. I don't want your pleasure yacht. All I want's just food for my baby. Give to me my old job back. We worked to build this country, mister, while you enjoyed a life of ease. You've stolen all that we built, mister. Now our children starve and freeze. So I don't want.